to Spotlight by Girl Talk. I'm Elizabeth Vargas.
Keith Maximilian.
Tiffany Sowersby.
And I'm Patrick Caligiuri.
Patrick. Producer Patrick.
So they call me.
So they call you. Thank you for joining us. Cheers.
Well, thank you for having me on.
We've been
talking about doing Girl Talk, and you know, I said I can hang, and I'm here to hang.
You are here to hang. And where'd you fly in from?
From San Jose, California this morning.
San Jose.
And do you know the way to San Jose?
I don't know the way to San Jose.
I got worried about licensing issues, but I'd sing it.
So how are you?
I'm doing great.
I want to, if those of you who don't know Producer Patrick, he's on Instagram. You must follow him. He's got this entire platform on educating people on the actual film industry. He's got an entire system on how to stay busy in the film industry, correct? How to stay in business, how to stay busy.
Yeah, it's, you know, the industry has taken a pretty hard hit over the last 2 or 3 years, like between COVID, between the strikes, and after the strikes, we thought the industry was going to get going again, but it actually contracted. And a lot of industry folks are like, don't know what happened. It was kind of like the rug got pulled out from underneath a lot of people. So I actually started social media as a producer who's been in the industry for 20 years to start trying to help people, especially industry people, understand what was happening within the industry. Because it's an industry where, sorry, but a lot of people bullshit each other. You know, oh, it's fine. It's coming back. Survive till 25. It's going to be great. But the reality is media is going through this transformation period. And we haven't seen it in 40 years. Like the last time media made a change like this was cable. But it's been changing.
When you say make a change, to what?
Like,
digital?
Well, for example, like from silent films to talking films, or from radio to television, there's been these evolutions in channels and mediums, but we just never saw it. For us, TV and film was always the same since I'm an 80s baby, so it had not changed for me. And then all of a sudden, now we're in an era of going from television to internet.
And like from analog to digital.
Exactly.
In our parents' generation. So yeah.
100%. So we are now in this kind of stage where everybody's like, well, I don't know what's going on. And streaming came in and just kind of was a wrecking ball to a system that kind of fit together like a Picasso. It didn't really make sense, but it worked. Yeah. So now
Discovery Network?
Yes.
Just disintegrated half their.
Right. And it was like David Zaslav brought Discovery Networks to Warner Brothers, and then all of a sudden all those networks became worthless because cable is unfortunately a dying industry. The younger generations, they're not watching cable. It's
short-term memory, like
right, exactly. You know, I need my 1 minute consumption of cheap entertainment, but it's saturating the industry.
Yeah.
And it is changing drastically, and I think the industry is trying to keep up.
So let's tell the audience. Okay, his repertoire is phenomenal. Can you just tell the audience, what have you done? You've done, I mean, amazing work. How many shows have you been on?
That
you've worked on?
That I've worked on? I couldn't give you a number.
But are you allowed to say on camera?
Oh, yeah. So I've worked on, I was a producer on The Amazing Race. I did Big Brother, Naked and Afraid, Bering Sea Cold, Ice Cold Gold. A lot of gold shows. I had an Alaska niche for a while. I hate the cold. I don't know how I got it. But I did a lot with Discovery and National Geographic, American Idol. So yeah, I've been kind of around.
The Naked and Afraid thing got me. I was like, yes.
What do you want to know?
Were they really naked the whole time?
Oh yeah. Oh,
they
yes.
were?
Oh yeah.
Did you guys film them physically naked?
There's like 100.
No, I have a lot of questions.
I never watched it because I was petrified that the balls would be like, woo!
Oh, they are.
So, but there's no stickies?
Well, you know, I'm there.
Wait, so you're on set with them.
Oh yeah, I'm in the jungle. Except I'm wearing clothes. I'm not naked.
No, I know, but you're like in a tent somewhere, or do they have you in bougie like trailers?
Well, there's no bougie trailers in the jungle. So sometimes it actually takes us like an hour to 2 hours to get to set, which is set as like the middle of the jungle. So sometimes we're in eco lodges, sometimes we're in like people's homes that they're kind of like an Airbnb, but usually we're pretty rural. Yeah. Like, you know, one place I stayed, they're like, hey, by the way, we're going to chain up the fence in front of the hotel. Don't leave at night because the cartels will be running drugs through here.
And is I go, Columbia? Okay.
That was actually Mexico.
Our neighbors. Okay, got it.
Our neighbors to the south.
Wait, and one more question. Did anyone have a near-death experience with like the bug bites and stuff like that? Or is that all just built up?
No, it's a real survival show. These are real people.
So it's real.
It's real. These are people that, and there's no prize. Like they are survivalists that want to prove that they can survive in the wilderness for 3 weeks. Yeah. And
a longer one too. It's like a 50.
Oh yeah, and then there's XL, which is like
you should do Naked and Afraid.
Oh please,
I just do Naked. I don't need the Afraid.
He's a pilot. He would just fly with his plane, drop himself off.
I'm more like clothed and mediocre. So it's like that's kind of my forte. But yeah, I did a few episodes of that show.
Oh no, my question. Cool. Since I've watched that show, has anyone ever hooked up?
Oh,
on that show.
Is there a dirty sex going on?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind
of... Oh, my God, yes.
That sounds like an infection.
Well, here's...
Let me
3 weeks of no showering.
What about the time out? What about the girls on their time of the month, too? Like, all that...
There's a lot of questions. Jam-wise? Okay, we could answer these in order, which is more important.
I'd say, has any of the couples, have they ever hooked up?
Okay, so to answer that question, when you are naked and trying to survive... Procreation is the last like instinct that you have. The first thing you're like is, I am thirsty. I am hungry. I need shelter. Like, even though I could be staring at like the most attractive naked person, it's just like, I don't give a fuck. I really got
like water.
I don't want lightning to strike me tonight.
Yeah, there's a couple episodes where they actually had water and they had meat for days. Yes. They were just living like kings. So, I mean, what else are you going to do?
So that's what I've heard of a rumor. But I can't confirm or deny the rumor that there may have been a Naked and Afraid hookup. But
I was not there. Morning wood. What do they do it like?
No, you're about to be eaten by a bear.
So if they're in the forest, do they get a wood in the morning?
They have to.
Yes.
What do you do?
And then they ask. I mean, I do have big dick energy. I get it. But like, they have a piece of leaf or something.
No, they don't have anything.
They have a canvas bag. And it's funny. It's the burlap sap. That is the nastiest thing.
I think it was so disgusting.
So, and it's funny because it's like, it's the burlap bag is actually where they hold their mics for the, and it goes into a shell necklace.
Right.
And, you know, the sound guy is always trying to get out of like changing the burlap bag. So it's like, I need to, can you get the burlap bag? It's like it's the ultimate, not my job.
See, Peyton, you and Anna, you got good. We got good sound right here. We're clean. Stick it and get it.
How interesting. But
so that you can bring one item, right? So like most people have a machete. You have to have like a machete or some sort of knife.
Mm-hmm. And then a survival item. Right.
Then there's like, the creative ones, like
iPhone.
Bring my Uber Eats account.
I mean, iPhone.
Like, there's always like someone that like it's usually a machete and what, like a
pot.
Yeah, pot. I thought they'd give you the pot.
No. It's usually each contestant gets one random item, but they don't know which item it's going to be. And then there's like one extra item that's given to them.
Oh my God, they're so dirty.
Yes. They're there for 21 days.
They had sex like that?
No, not them.
I don't know.
Or in general.
I mean, like...
I would say it 99% of the time...
They're kind of pissed at each other. I don't think they're doing anything.
At some point, you're bored and afraid. You know? Like, you're going to start...
You're bored and don't give a fuck.
This is Haven stuff.
It's like,
You only watch one?
I've never seen it.
You've never seen the show?
No, I've never seen it.
It's like a flagship.
This is like the most amazing...
I know.
Liz, we're going to watch it. We're going to have a girls' night.
We're going to have a girls'
night. And then invite me back, and we'll actually have a watch party.
Okay.
You could actually watch the episode where I make a cameo.
So back to Tiffany's question.
Yes.
So what happens with the girly period, the period stuff?
So... Yeah. That's bound to happen. Okay. Yeah. And
I mean, 21 days. It's going to be like.
So,
with real women, you're really going to have a period.
Feminine products are provided for female contestants.
Okay.
See, now that's not part of one of the objects that you're given. So I feel like cheating.
And then are they like tucking the string?
Oh my God!
I don't put the camera down. That's kind of what they call
it. I'm wanting to know. They gotta cut it.
Oh my God! I want to barf right now.
I will say,
pull it out with their dirty production.
Okay, so what other show post production? What?
Oh, on Naked and Afraid, there's entire teams that just do nothing but blur. That just follow the blur.
Okay, so I googled it. All the guys' little packages were blurred. So I was like, oh, okay. Not that I was looking for them, but I was.
She
didn't watch.
I didn't.
All the episodes I haven't seen.
No, because Google says, would you like to see this content?
Oh my God.
I bet it does.
And then I said, Yes, on Blur It. You know, Google has like their censorship.
They make you like censor,
And so I uncensored it. What?
Did I? You can't uncensor it.
Yes, you can. I did that for Kanye at the Grammys.
I uncensored. You gotta uncensor Google.
Stuff now. Yeah, you do.
I know, but images. Yeah. Not for Naked and Afraid. You're not gonna see them naked?
No, but when you're Googling, I didn't watch the show, so I Googled it.
Oh, okay.
So it gave me all these black photos, and I'm like, why is everything blurred, blacked out? And it says, would you like to uncensor... Or would you
the
like
image.
To?
Yeah,
oh,
the
this
image.
Is all, hell yeah!
I was like, bam! And then it was all like blurred out.
At least
penises.
You got afraid.
So I assumed everybody had a strap on. I mean, not.
Oh,
I mean, a stick on.
That's
a
not
stick
really
on.
A great survival.
A stick on.
Tender.
That's not a stick on.
That's, yeah.
This poor guy. What other show have you? Okay.
You're getting initiated real quick.
What other show have you been on?
yeah.
Are you worked on? That's kind
well,
of like
Amazing Race is amazing.
Okay, so let's talk about Amazing Race.
Okay.
Amazing.
Yes.
Yes. Like I always wanted to be on Amazing Race. Like I thought I could handle it. Like the travel and just organizing and
just traveling. You're just racing around.
No, but I really like to like think outside the box and make it like a puzzle. You know, like who's gonna get there quicker?
She's an analytics. So.
I'm into that.
I would absolutely not be on any of the shows.
Really? I would love that.
Yeah, actually, because most people don't know on Amazing Race, like, and this is, I mean, I worked on the show 10, 15 years ago, so I'm sure budgets have been slashed since then. But you either wanted to be the team that won or you wanted to be the first team out because no one remembered you if you were the first team out and you actually spent the next 3 weeks of production at a luxury beach resort.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah, that's true.
And you didn't have to shave your head.
And you don't have to do things like shave your head or get tattooed. Because the worst thing I could think is coming in second place on that show.
What did you get tattooed?
They make them do stuff like
they did one challenge
almost.
Where if you got tattooed, you could skip to the front of the
I know.
Race.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'd be out.
Yeah, wow. Season 12.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in general. I mean, you are a veteran in this industry. In the reality, I mean, I was a housewife. Yes. I'm nobody. I'm like, I did a little stint on, you know, Evolution Media, Bravo, whatever.
Yeah, I'm nobody. I was on Real Housewives of Orange County.
I know, but you know, it's crazy. Yeah. I didn't understand getting on that show that the Orange County, you know, at the time I got on it because Too Short, the rapper, his manager, everybody got me on the show but me. I didn't know any of the ladies. So I didn't know what I was getting into. And I didn't realize reality TV, unscripted TV is so amazing. It's real. Like, it's raw. These people are just assholes.
Yes.
Like, their job, the other co-hosts and everybody on our co-host, whatever, their job is to make you feel like shit. and how the shock factor of how can we make Elizabeth look bad right now to give me to make me feel look better?
How did you not watch that show beforehand and go, yeah, that's what they do? Like, I would think that that's
I know.
That's
how
crazy.
How do I not know Jesus?
I even watched the show
I know
and I know that.
Alexis. I mean, it takes me a while.
This girl's getting a lot of airtime.
Like, you know, it takes me a while. Like, I care about a lot of things, but not a lot of things.
So, yeah.
So I didn't really, I just thought, oh, I'm getting divorced. This will be fun. I literally didn't think anything. When they called me and said, are you sitting down? I'm like, no. They go, well, you might want to sit down. I remember the conversation.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting on the beach. I sit down. I'm like, so like, you got the gig if you want it. And I'm thinking, oh, fuck. I was like, now I literally said, oh, fuck. I've got to take this gig. So I took it and it wasn't a gig. It was like a real life scenario that you guys, as a producer, Patrick, you guys, you can look away all you want. You.
Bravo's a different beast. I'm just going to say.
You make the talent go crazy.
Different type of producer.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because you got to remember, like, there's different types of shows. And here's the thing, like, reality falls under this big umbrella.
Right.
So everything is
unscripted
reality.
Unscripted is called reality.
Unscripted is how we like to refer to it because reality tends to have a negative connotation. Don't know where that comes from. But I do a lot of competition shows. So what we do is we set up, you know, we set up the game and the stress comes from playing the game. As opposed to, you know,
throw everyone in a room and let them argue.
Liking and that person and that emotional line.
It's not based on emotions.
Right. So a lot of these, like a housewife show or what we call, or is actually what we call house reality. So a lot of what I do is also what they call a docu-reality, which is more documentary style. So when you see like Naked and Afraid, it's filmed more like a documentary. So most people don't, you know, to the average television viewer, it's all reality TV. But there's actually different types of producers who are really good at doing different things. So there's producers that do just dating shows. There's producers that do just housewife shows. And then I kind of have this like adventure off the grid genre.
So, Mark Burnett. Mark Burnett.
Yes.
So you like his style.
Yeah. So like Survivor, like if it's, yeah. if it requires like international production or, you know, if it's minors, ER, not OR, you know, like, the guys with the pickaxes, you know, that's the stuff that I kind of work with.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Look at
can you list the shows again? All of them.
Oh, sure. Yeah, Amazing Race, Big Brother, American Idol, Naked and Afraid, Baron Seagold, Ice Cold Gold, Swamp People.
I love Swamp People.
I know. I do too.
I did my recent show is called Fight to Survive, which was on Roku. And then I'm just going to throw a few extra bits out because you'll probably enjoy. I did Kid Nation, if you remember that show from back in 07.
Okay, I don't. Okay,
good. Thank you.
Okay.
And then I worked on True Hollywood Story. Okay. I also, if you know Nancy Grace, I was also her production assistant as one of my first jobs in.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I know Nancy Grace. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So.
Yeah. You know, it's funny about the whole reality world. I still don't watch any of it until I started Tea Time with the Ladies and we do a gossip column kind of show. And I'm watching, you know, The Real Housewives and I'm watching all of it. And it's the new soap opera of today. You know, we had Days of Our Lives back in the day and now, you know, that. But I realized that like these shows, like the game shows. So Mr. Beast started a game show. Mm-hmm. What was it called?
Beast Games.
Beast Games.
Yes.
But what was the one that he just showed? Was it Beast Games? I guess it's Beast Games.
Beast Games, which came out on Amazon.
Who's producing that? And
oh, I don't know who produced.
Oh.
I think part of his team, but I forget the production company.
Yeah.
But also they had Squid Games.
Squid Games was the other one.
But that's the one where now they're like, you know, we'll make the prize $5 million.
And but they didn't even pay the $5 million, right?
I didn't watch the show. I don't watch these things.
I tried it. It was kind of,
Well, anyway, so my point is that this type of unscripted content, and I'm where I'm going with this, is that you've really, on your online present, Producer Patrick, is that you're trying to educate all of us on just where you think the future is going because you've had such a great history in the industry. And I started following you just by chance. And I saw the people that were following you. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay.
It's some pretty big names.
Pretty big names. I got to follow this guy. And then when you were like, yeah, I'll be on your show. I'm like, okay. you guys, and so, why is it? So I'm curious now. Yeah. So you've been on, you've done a lot of shows. You're doing, you have a great presence online, but now you're sort of telling people what's happening and you're educating people. Is that the direction you want to go? Are you trying to get away from producing all the the game type stuff? Is the industry dying is what I want to know. Is reality TV dying or is it the next thing?
The industry is evolving. Okay, that's the best way I can say. I can't say it's dying. We're always going to have a need for storytelling. We're always going to have a need for media. In fact, actually, we're saturated with
drama.
Media. There's so much. Networks
are dying, and it's becoming like
networks are dying.
And it's
networks,
YouTube. It's going to YouTube.
It was, you know, it was originally cable, but YouTube then TV. Then the Tyson fight, the Tyson Paul fight,
but it
that changed the game because the only reason why the traditional legacy broadcast networks, the NBC, CBS, and Foxes, why they were hanging on is because they could still do live programming.
Right.
They're like, we still got the award shows, we still got sports, but then Netflix just came in
and said, that market.
We can do fucking live at a mass scale. Super Bowl is going to be on Netflix and they have the money to do it. So that just basically put like another nail in the coffin for traditional media.
Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah. So you're probably going to start and you actually already see it. Like Amazon's got the NBA contract.
Yep.
And it's only going to be a matter of time before sports moves over to streaming.
So where do you see yourself? So you're okay. So
yeah.
Are you wanting to producer Patrick? You're here.
Yeah.
But, and you're educating us.
Yes.
But where does Patrick want to go with his future?
Well, you know, the reason I started everything was because, and it's actually kind of I was going through the shit just as much as everybody else. And all of a sudden,
The shit.
Oh. as in poopy. Yeah. As in like
Man,
horrible, like before the strikes, the most I'd ever been between a gig was 2 months. Like, and those are usually hiatus. Like, I don't want to see anything. I don't even want to touch a television set. I don't even want to like review a cut. And then after my last show, 2 months went by, and then 3 months went by, and then we had the strikes. And then usually with the strikes, because I actually went through the 07-08 writer strike, that was a boom for reality TV. We were never busier because reality TV is non-union. But what happened was nothing happened during the strikes. And that was kind of like set off.
Well, no, Bethany Frankel tried to unionize.
She tried to unionize
the reality.
Reality world. Talent.
Talent.
But, you know, there's still a lot of, you know, the talent that works behind the camera that also kind of goes through the grinder as well. There was just nothing. There was just no work to be had. And because LA is that, like, I'm not going to show you what's really going on. You know, when people started talking, they're like, ah, you know, what's going on with you? Like, I got it. You know, it's a typical LA Hollywood answer. I got a few stokes in the fire. Yeah. I'm working on some projects. But it's all bullshit, you know? And LA is in, our industry is a way where you put up a facade even when you're hurting. Right.
Yeah.
And we all do that. And no one is ever real because the minute we've been kind of taught from when we're early in our careers that, you know, if you're out, you're out. So you don't want to give any show any type of sign of weakness. Oh. And then a year went by and I'm just like now talking to my colleagues who are other executive producers. I'm talking to people that were, you know, above me or my mentors or my bosses and showrunners on bigger shows that I went in. And then I'm hearing stories like, oh yeah, we have to sell our house, or I'm selling my grandmother's inherited jewelry. I'm going into my kid's college fund. I'm doing Uber runs right now. One of my friends said that he actually won an Emmy while making a DoorDash delivery. That he actually pulled over, his agent called him, said, hey, you just won an Emmy. He's like, that's great. And then I delivered Chipotle to a bunch of college kids in Burbank. And it was the most heartbreaking thing that ever happened to me. So these stories are happening. And then finally, I just got to a point where I was convinced my career was coming to an end, whatever it was, and I needed to transition. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to say it. I'm just going to come out and say what's going on.
You really talk openly about what's going on.
Right.
And you're so good at it.
Thank you.
Because that means the passion is behind it. That means it's real.
We love what we do.
Right.
Especially, you know, we...
Are you saying like the pay is what? It's just not... enough?
No, it's just there's no work, there's no projects anymore. Okay. We used to roll, you know, we're freelancers. I mean, even in the film industry, you go from one film to the next film. Yeah. All of a sudden, the film and TV shows just stopped. They weren't making any anymore.
Okay.
And so there's thousands of these workers that find themselves immediately unemployed. And so when I started talking about it, I was just kind of like, drop the mic, I'm out. Okay, you know, I'll find whatever my next passion is going to be. Which is heartbreaking because deep down inside, you're always a storyteller. And the exact opposite happened. All of a sudden, people were just like, this guy finally said what we've all been thinking.
Yeah, no, and you are. I was like, I just, somehow you got into my feed and I was like, oh, I had to listen. Because I was like, this is exactly what my other friends are saying. Like, you're saying it very enunciated, very clearly.
Thank you.
You're very good at it. And he's educating people on what's happening now and why. And let's talk about AI.
Yeah.
So I know you don't know a lot about AI, but you know a little bit.
A little bit.
What's going on with, I mean.
So Musk just offered, did you hear about that?
Mm-mm.
Musk just offered $98 billion.
Oh, to buy ChatGPT, right? OpenAI. Yeah. I saw that.
Today. Elon did?
Just a few hours ago.
No way.
Today.
Oh, yeah. We missed that.
Oh, Elon.
I got to call you back, Elon.
Hi, Elon. Shut up. That's my like dream guy. But so what do you think? You know, I think that AI could help the producer, could help the everybody to streamline their work easier.
Yes.
And then, for instance, I love this. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm doing the best I can.
Right.
Right? I don't know what I'm fucking doing, but yes. I love the creatives. I love Luke. Luke has been with me 50 plus shows.
So you're wearing pants
Peyton.
This time?
Yeah, Luke, are you wearing pants over there? I got Peyton and I've got Anna and I've got a good team. But I'm like, you know, when you can streamline something, like we have like shorts that we put out with AI and things like that. I'm like, well, this is a great thing. But is it really good for the entertainment industry? Because it seems like it's going to really eliminate a lot of jobs.
So last night I was watching the Super Bowl and it was the beginning of the kickoff where they were doing like the national anthem. And this little guy went out on the field. Did you see that?
Yeah, it was
AI. I thought it was real. I literally thought it was real. I was like, that was pretty good.
That's CGI.
But I thought, I was like, wait, what's on the field? What's going on? And then I realized it was AI. But for a minute there, it was so clear.
Yeah.
You know? Nice.
Like, so how is that going to work? Like, you don't even need to be an actor anymore.
Yeah.
Like, they have like real AI platforms. Like, they create actors.
Right.
Like, we don't even need actors. Crazy.
Well, you know what's interesting? And there's been so much debate about this, but you have to remember, like, that it's tech trying to encroach on an artistic industry. And there's bound to be like pushback from that. There's bound to be like recourse from that. Because what is art really but a mirror of reality, right? And so now you have sort of this like makeshift version of reality that I don't think the generative AI is going to really catch on. Because, and I say this as like, would you go and pay for an AI movie? Like, if you were like, this movie was generated by ChatGPT.
What was that one that was with
if you knew about it or you didn't know about it, you didn't know.
If you knew it was AI, would you like, it's like, if you were to see two movies of the same story, and there was one with real actors, and there's one with that was generated by AI, which one would you pay
for? I don't care.
What was the movie that was, I was all in blue? The paint?
Oh, Avatar.
Avatar. I liked that movie, but I get what you're saying.
But
I'd
that's
rather
CGI,
watch,
and I think CGI not, is different. Not to, AI. That's not animation.
AI? CGI is when you have you're putting that character into something like a into reality, like you, like the guy, the football.
But it runs so close to AI.
Wait, well, AI is just CGI is different. Okay, explain.
CGI is a computer generated image. CGI,
right?
Okay. So it's, but it's, well, not.
It's like Star Wars, like, you know, the spaceship's blowing up.
But you're telling it what to do,
right?
With
AI, you can make an image that looks exactly like us, and you can't tell the difference between reality and generative.
We're all like, okay.
But you know, there's a lot of philosophical questions that are coming up with this. You know, one of the things is like, how are you? You know, are people going to prefer AI personas? And we saw that happen on Meta, where all of a sudden there were these fake AI people that came out, and there was actually a backlash.
Yeah.
People were like, I'd rather be off social media than have to deal with fake people.
Well, no, remember I asked you.
Yes.
Wait, are you...
Right, you thought I wasn't real.
So he posted something about AI. This is how we connected. Do you want to hear how we connected?
Yeah.
Here's how we connected.
Like, he's like, can you FaceTime me?
Look at your fake rubber
I'm
face.
I'm watching his, I'm not responding to him. I'm like, why would he ever respond to me? Like, he doesn't know me. And then he did something about AI and I wrote, oh my God, are you AI? Like, am I literally looking at an AI person? And he goes, no, I'm a real person. I went,
prove it.
Oh, yeah, God. And he goes, we start talking about him, like, oh, he is a real person.
But right, like, I'll have to fly down to fucking Orange County and show you.
He's, you know, really a real.
I'm here.
But then I realized, that's when I realized, because I had no problems watching AI until I realized, well, I kind of want to watch a real person.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know if this whole fake thing is.
So here's a good example. Here's a philosophical question. If you look at a person and they have a glass eye and a real eye, which eye are you looking at?
The real eye.
Right?
Yeah.
Ooh. Well, that's deep.
That's assuming you know which one's
deep.
Real.
Right?
Yeah, I guess so. Like, that's assuming.
You can tell which one's like.
But you can't tell. But a lot of times you're not going to be able to tell if it's AI. That's the other thing. It's like, you're not going to be like, look at, okay, that's AI. You're like, it might take you a while, like 30 minutes in and go, this is AI. Like, there's no way that these are real people.
Right. But there's a lot of discussion, like, you know, what is the future going to be, where it's like, am I going to want a movie that's made by me or that stars me in it? Like, and I could put, like, you know, I want to see Elizabeth Vargas as Indiana Jones in Raiders of the Lost Ark. And then I could type it in and then I could watch it.
Okay. So what about,
as long as you're in that one, that should be your, you know, running from the ball.
What about the metaverse? How do you do that?
Oh, gosh. I think that's
like,
so silly.
I mean, I could not fathom how you're buying real dollar, how, like, spending real money for fake houses.
So what is it?
Yeah. Oh, they're buying a property. Yeah.
But and boats.
So I live in San Jose.
Wait. What is this?
So Meta came up with
this. This is Zuckerberg, right?
Yeah. Zuckerberg. But it's the metaverse. So it's like,
yeah, you put on the goggles.
You put on the goggles.
You live in his.
And you're living in a reality, a false reality.
Well, it's like
reality.
NFTs. It's like people are buying.
But you're buying houses on the water next to Snoop Dogg.
Oh, it's like Bitcoin's all fake. Bullshit.
But no, this is like, but Bitcoin's
real. Let's just get that shit.
I'm even more turned off by it because I live in Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
So, you know, just watch like people get out of their cyber trucks and they're like, you know, and they're spaced out and their goggles on. I'm like, that's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. I just bought a $300 million yacht.
I saw someone driving a Tesla that was driving itself in goggles.
No.
I'm not even kidding. I was like, whoa. Like, I have it on video.
No, the thing is, like, because he could do business, you could do things while you're actually staring at the road. That's what that was about.
Oh.
Yeah, because
I saw it for myself. It wasn't something I saw on the internet. I was driving down and someone's in a Tesla wearing those things.
I know, but what I'm saying is that the goggles are just, you see like text messages.
I thought that was just an Instagram post.
I saw it myself. Yeah. People did this.
That kind of died, right?
What, the Google the
or whatever they were?
Yeah, just because I don't think people want to walk out like goggles. There's a point where you're just kind of like, that's a bridge too far.
But with porn, I bet you it's huge.
I'm glad Liz brought that up.
Could you imagine? It take up 30 minutes.
I mean, these men are never going to leave their glasses. They're like,
I went to a conference in Vegas. It was called Champs, and they actually had the dolls. But then dolls with the glasses is a whole nother.
Conference in Vegas. Let's just back up.
It was for work.
Yeah,
it was for work.
The porn awards.
Okay, no. It was in the cannabis space and stuff. So they had actually a sex section and they had these dolls. But then they had people wearing those goggles with a doll interacting on them. And I mean, like, how are people going to know the difference between, like, about it.
A doll?
With the glasses, so they have the glasses on.
You're actually feeling, you're seeing the doll, like, you're feeling something real.
Yeah. Does a doll feel real?
Oh, these dolls, yeah, if I could show you a video.
They're pretty darling.
Yeah, I took videos. No, they're like insane. 10 grand. Yeah. Oh, 10. Some of them are like 100. Some of these like lifelike.
Wait. Okay, let's back up.
Okay.
These goggles have a real doll that come with them?
Well, so, no.
At your event that you went to in Vegas.
I love how both girls that probably have a full collection of vibrators at home are giving shit about one toy that was designed for a guy.
I just use one.
Oh, whoa. Amazon. Okay.
I mean, I'm a child of the 80s where it was just like a JCPenney lingerie.
He's like, I ate a magazine. He's squinting on Channel 99.
Yeah. I saw it for 3 seconds.
You guys are opening votes. You're like, oh.
Yeah, those were the old days where you had to work for it.
The best was the Spice Channel.
That's what I'm saying, first, Spice. You had to squint.
That's right, 99.
Spice was the only channel, and like your parents would leave, like, yes, like you got all this scrambled stuff.
Yeah. Exactly.
And then one part won't be scrambled, and you're like, yes.
And you get it for like 10 seconds, and your dad's like, what's going on down there?
Just nothing.
Who framed Roger Rabbit at Jurassic Park, you know?
Oh, boy.
But was there sound on the scrambled?
The audio was clear as a bell, you know, and it was just like, you know, you would see like an arm doing this, you know, just going up, and it would be
the sad thing is they're not lying.
It could be a leg, but you didn't care.
No, because we stared at that thing for hours.
I mean, the kids now are so spoiled, like, you know, midget clown squirting porn, boom, it's on their screen.
Two girls in a triple cup.
Oh, God.
Just one cup. Two girls in just one. Not a triple.
Why couldn't they?
A spoon. Two girls and a spoon.
Barf. Sure.
I never watched it, but I mean, I heard it was a funny thing.
Well, like back in the day, if you were like a kid, I've had a porn mag, like you were king.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You could trade that for anything.
And you would show your buddies and you're like, why are these pages sticking together? You know, like.
Yeah. The back of the bus was where to be when you went to school. Like, you're just like, whoa.
So what do you think? Like, let's back up.
Sure, back up.
We digress.
We digress to porn.
Talk about AI.
It always digresses to porn.
Nice meeting you too.
Yeah, nice to meet you, Patrick, producer Patrick.
Liz, just for the record, Liz brought that up.
I know. I'm always wondering, like, with AI, like, okay, so let's talk about, you know, these men with these glasses and the goggles and everybody. And like, it's so easy to create fake personas on camera.
Yeah.
As well, you know, actors and
social media. Instagram, real quick. I saw this. A lot of my guy friends, you probably are too, have been following this girl, this Insta model.
She's fake.
And she's fake. And I'm like, And they're liking her photos and videos. And I'm like, are my friends just dumb? Or did they not realize that this is a fake
They
girl?
Didn't realize it was a fake check.
That's so crazy that my
Run
smart
by some
friends.
Dude. Like that
yeah, no, right. And it's exactly, I'm like, it is some guy getting off on the fact that guys are liking this thing. Like, it's just crazy. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, it's kind of, I mean, just on the side note, like,
that's crazy.
It is.
Yeah. It's kind of like answering, if you have a, if you're on like OnlyFans and you have 1,000 followers, there's no way that they're answering their own DMs. So you have
bot,
a farm.
Bot
yeah, but it's like, yeah. So you have either bots answering the DMs or you have a farm that's answering the emails. And they're like little kids probably answering DMs.
I know.
Like, there's no way you're answering it. I want to see
someone
your,
in India.
Your feet and some socks. Yeah,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
I love
Chinese kid, you know?
I
love
it. I need some more champagne on this note.
Well, here's a question for you. You know, with like these $10,000 robots, like, is that just where we're going to advance?
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, here's the deal.
Like, is it going to be like, this is my Gucci robot, you know?
I would love one of those.
Like, I would love
because I could see, I could see women getting very competitive. like,
all
sorts
of get a Gucci
it's
robot.
It's like my Louis Dick robot, you know? It's
like,
I mean, it's
like, it's got removable devices.
Yeah. Meanwhile, like, guys, they'll just have like the droids from Star Wars, you know?
This chick.
Like a cyborg.
Oh, here we, oh my God! Look at it.
Yeah, you couldn't tell that. That's not a. That's totally fake.
Mila.
Oh, that's definitely.
Yeah. It looked like a filter, though. It looks like a filter.
Yeah.
So it may be a real girl that's heavily edited, but I doubt it.
No.
Content creator.
Hey, I bet you our friends are following this one.
It's probably some dude.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
She's not that only, great. She only has 209,000 followers.
I remember I got in an argument with my ex, and I'm like, "So if you're just gonna add girls, make sure they're real." And he's like, oh, but don't, like, I was like, but seriously, don't.
But I mean, where is this going to go? Like,
well, it's interesting you say that because where we actually in the industry, you know, there's a lot of debate of, well, this is what the new generation wants. And this is what the new, you know, this is what where kids are gravitating for, towards. And I was just like, you know, I actually went over to Chapman and I was like, I want to sit down with Gen Z and just flat out ask them, like, you know, where do you guys stand? You've been, you know, 2000s babies. You grew up with screens in front of you. Like, and actually the answers were so profound because they actually crave authenticity and originality and authentic things. And they say, because they're like, well, when I'm on Instagram, all I'm seeing is these facades, bullshit. The best version of
the
people.
The best version of our
So as one kid explained it to me, he goes, imagine like that's like eating McDonald's every day. And eventually you just eat McDonald's every day. All of a sudden, your body is just going to naturally start craving for something that feels real, organic, nutritious. And I
honestly...
You
go back to us, women, real women? Oh, sorry.
I mean, look, I mean, I'll talk about just in my own relationship, like the idea of having an AI or, you know, a sex robot or something is because you can still be yourself and this thing or whatever is never going to change your opinion. It's never going to challenge you. It's just going to be you're able to dominate the device. But, you know, what's interesting, the whole human connection is to have somebody that
challenges you
because that's how we grow, right? As people.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm interested to see where it might be new and exciting now, but where is it going to be 5 years from now, from 10 years from now, when we're all just so worn out by social media? And I mean, we see that we're craving human connection now.
Yeah.
I see it in the airport. I was in the airport this morning and everybody is, you know, zombified on their phone.
Yeah.
And I'm just kind of like looking around and I thought it was weird, and perhaps because I just smoked a joint before I got to the airport, but I was just like, this is bizarre. We live in this like world where we're just sitting next to people robots. And we're not even talking to them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's interesting because I don't go out a lot, but when I go out, you know, I guess because of the whole industry, I don't crave meeting people because people to me disappoint me because they're, because their expectations are so high or so different of what a friendship should be that there's so much fake and falsehood out there and I'm not. I'm like as real as you get.
No,
and it's like to meet another real person, like Tiffany's fucking real as you get. Keith, real as you
get.
She's
not AI.
and Keith too. Like I have a good, you know, and Luke and Anna and Peyton, we're all like real people.
Down to earth.
We down, but we talk and we have to communicate. We have to work together. there's no bullshit with the group. You've got to like work together. And so I don't go out a lot because I'm like, I don't want to meet somebody who's going to enter my universe and try and poison what? Like a virus.
That's such a bad way to look at going out, though.
Any new person.
It's true. I'm not down.
It's true.
I'm not what you're saying is not accurate, but it's like I don't want to go out because I don't want someone to poison my own environment.
My ecosystem. Yeah. You
know? It's like going on a porn site, and who knows what virus is going to enter your computer.
No, you know, it's like sleeping with a random.
I went on a date and I got a cease and desist.
Seriously?
My second date ever.
Since I've been, she might be going off experience. She hasn't had the best experience, so yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying, like...
Let's talk about the cease and desist for a second. Yeah. What did you get a cease and desist?
That was fucking funny. This fucker got caught cheating on a girlfriend, and apparently I was another girlfriend. We all found each other at a table, and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to hit this later. And the girl next to me is like, dude, that's my boyfriend.
Oh, no.
He finds out that we all know each other. He's on his way to the bar. I'm out.
Calls his lawyer.
Yeah. No. He didn't even do that. He's not even that smart.
That's the most Orange County thing I think I've ever heard.
He called ChatGPT. I sent it to my lawyer. I'm like, this motherfucker. And apparently he had like naked pictures of some girl and he's blackmailing her and all this shit's happening. I'm like, this is my second date. Yeah. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me right now? And so, you know, my take on it is, like, there's so much free pussy online. There's so much pussy everywhere. There's so much AI. There's women are so perfect. Like, where do we fit in? Like, we're like real women that literally just have jobs that are just trying to like love.
Someone said,
where the fuck do we fit in?
I saw this thing. It said, you could take an ordinary woman and put her on social media and she becomes extraordinary. Mm-hmm. You take an extraordinary guy and put him on social media and becomes ordinary. Makes sense? Because an ordinary girl looks extraordinary on social media. Yeah. They can make their life extraordinary.
Yeah.
But you take an ordinary guy or an extraordinary guy who's looking and going, fuck, this girl's like, look what she's doing. She's on a trip every other day. Like,
you're with her sugar daddy over here who's fat, an old dude, but she's only Instagramming herself and her meal.
I know.
You know for a
show
fact.
Show us who else is on that jet.
She's on like a rented jet. She's like, no, I got my seat.
Do you know that in LA they have jet, like a set?
Oh, they have a set where you can go on.
Are you serious?
I swear to God, dude. Oh, I saw this thing. I'm like,
right. We actually tried to create a reality show.
I thought that'd be great.
Where you take people like influencers that are like maxing out their credit cards to try to like keep this persona.
Oh, he just pulled it up. Look at this fake.
That is so wild.
Luke's pulling it up.
Oh, yeah. God,
thirsty as ever.
Rental photo studio.
Only $30 an hour.
No, but see, we talked about this a while back. Like I went out with this Instagram chick who had a huge following and she was...
So boring. Real following?
Real following. But she was so not in reality.
Yes.
She was not grounded in reality whatsoever. She went out and panicked. Like in a restaurant, panicked. Because people were watching her. She thought people were watching her. And like they recognized me. I'm like, they don't know who the fuck you are, dude. I can guarantee you that. Like, but it was so weird to watch them try to be in reality. Oh, you take someone that has 1.5 million followers that is not used to reality.
Put them in civilization. So funny you say that. Because we actually experienced this in reality TV where, you know, it's like you want these influencers on your show and then you put them on the show and they freak out and they just completely become like statues because they're people that are so used to like being in their own bedroom and just talking to a lens that actually when you put them in a social situation,
My bedroom, Patrick.
Why can't it be a living room? Where are you going?
Wait, is this what influencers are you talking to?
You put them in
only friends.
Couch.
No. Only friends.
Only cans. Okay, so here's the jet that's rented.
Yeah.
Luke pulled it up.
Guys, that is ridiculous.
That's a sick ass jet.
Like our friend that goes on.
It's a G.
G6. So,
we have a
because it has
they got the shitty lazy boy recliners in there.
Gosh.
That's a real couch. Like from like
310 square feet.
Look, it's got a reclining button on it. It can't go back any further. It can't go any back.
It's like our friend that jumps on our friend's jets, takes a video, and then jumps off. But I mean, okay, like, so I think, and this is my own opinion.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not right. I think I'm sick of AI. I'm sick of all the fakeness.
Yeah.
I want real films, real emotions. I want love stories that are real again. I want soap operas back. I want real people that are actors that are hating each other. I mean, the reality show, the housewife world, the only reason why I really like it is because it's real.
Yeah.
Like, it's real. Like, you don't get that anymore. Like, I want real people. I want real emotion.
I tell that to so many, you know, especially when people find out that I work in Unscripted, they start asking me questions like, well, it's all scripted, isn't it? I'm like, no. Because if you look at a housewife and you see a housewife cry, and they cry a lot.
Yes.
Like, they don't cry because they're Oscar-winning actors or actresses.
Yeah.
They cry because they're experiencing something that's real and emotional to them. Yeah. And that's the best way I could explain reality TV. Producers can set up the situation, but we can't inject the emotion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, it's interesting. Like, reality TV is real emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Bravo is doing so well.
Yeah.
Like, Andy Cohen's, they're all brilliant. I mean, you know, I don't know his involvement anymore with Bravo, but I know that he's still the face of...
He gets a check.
Yeah, he gets a check. Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, like, as far as, like, Tiffany and I are concerned, like when we go online, if we're going to go on a date with somebody, we want it to be real.
Are you on Hinge?
I mean, yeah, and it's like funny.
Yeah, you're dating,
this.
Right?
I was gonna add this. So thanks for
you need a washer.
So I went on Hinge. Oh my god, we're not even going there. That's
yeah. I can't go on those. I
no, you guys.
You're not on Hinge.
No, so let me tell you. I'm going off of it, and I'm going to tell you why. So I was on Hinge, and then I see this guy, and he's cute, and he's checking all the boxes, and I swipe, and then like within 20 minutes, it goes. So I get a text from Hinge or an email, and it says so and so has been deleted because they're fake. So they caught it. The company caught it before I did. Then my phone's blowing up with these weird text messages from like things. And it's like, hello, are we meeting today? Like question mark. Like they're trying to like.
Serial murder.
Like,
I get those all the time.
No, it's not. No, it's not that. It's people trying to fish for an answer so that then they take your answer. And now they're going to scam you out of all your money. But it's all connected through this fake Hinge thing that I swiped on. So I'm like, these dating apps are bad because you're going to end up getting scammed out of your money in the long scheme of things, I think.
Well, the long and the short of it is don't pick the guy that checks all the boxes.
Because it's too good to be true.
So let's get into the dating app thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hello, profile pictures. You have to just trust that person's uploading everything real.
Well, you know it's bullshit. Not. That's I mean, like,
or they take their best picture and it's like all filtered. That's why the first thing you want to do is be like, FaceTime me.
Yeah.
You know, like, let's just.
The high angles are a dead giveaway.
Dude, I have a friend.
Oh, they are?
Oh, yeah.
I got a friend that goes on Hinge dates every Friday night.
Like, girl or guy?
No, it's a guy. He goes on Hinge dates. So I'm like, and some of the girls are cute. Like, we'll go out, he'll meet us out. And like, but. I kind of enjoy the environment because it's so awkward. Like, it's so not the way he's like, this girl looks nothing like her pictures.
It's always good for the story. You know? Like, I want entertainment tonight.
I'm all in the background going.
All those dating apps are all hookups, hookup things.
Not necessarily.
I don't think so.
No. Yes, they are.
They're not.
Why else? Like, I was like, I've actually met some friends
that are still friends to this day because of those stupid apps. Because I just kept it friendship, you know, like solid friends.
Uh-huh.
I'm being honest. Yeah. Uh-huh.
So I was desperate to find a date. And I was like, I don't know what to do. Like, I can't find, no guys hit on me. I look obviously too intimidating or something. And I was like, no, I'm not.
I know,
you're need to go on Raya or something.
No, I'm being serious.
A little bit more.
I ended up like, I shot myself in the foot by being a housewife. So now I'm already in that category of you're a loser. And so it's like.
Well, you know, don't sell yourself short.
No. So here's what happened. So I was like, all the guys I was attracting, I had a cease and desist. I got Bellino. I got people that are like, you know, I'm like, oh my God, I just want a normal guy to hit on me. Like just anybody. But now I realize that because I'm in reality TV, she's like this. Tiffany told me, join these apps. And I'm like, oh, I'm just going to join an app and be like pick a dick. Like, no. And so,
I mean, that's kind of a good concept. That's if a guy could just
PAD.
So, but my point is like. Like, none of that's real. Like, those people are all fucked up.
I disagree, but I maybe have been, like, one of the few that have had an okay experience on those apps. But I'm not also, like, going on dates all the time. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, so.
I've just heard horror stories. And my girlfriend's like, oh, no, Elizabeth, go on these apps. And I'm like, you had a horror story. You just told me a horror story. But you're like, go on the app.
Share that one.
What about, like, those old professional services? Like, remember when when they still had airline magazines?
Escort services?
No. Oh. No.
976 numbers?
No.
I thought about hiring you guys, an escort.
You guys need to up your game. But, like, remember airline magazines where you used, like, before COVID, when they actually put a magazine in front? And they used to have, like, these professional dating services. Like, are you a rich as fuck? Would you like to, like, date somebody rich as fuck? They were escort services? I thought it was like, here's where I could get a nice steak in Phoenix, and professional.
Just this hot chick just runs up rolling.
You know what a professional is? Like a professional, yeah.
It's no, I thought it was like, oh, this is like meet somebody else with an MBA.
Okay, so anyway, let's back up. Man,
she's putting her way through school to get an MBA.
I am.
I'm
so naive to the world. I've worked in reality television for 20 years.
Seeking arrangements over here.
Yeah. I was this years old, this many years old to realize that.
No, but I mean, ultimately, I think that AI, as back to AI, is really going to be a challenge as far as what's real, what's not on the internet. Right. So I'm sick of it already. Mm-hmm. Like, I questioned if you were real. You're here. No, I did. Did I not?
Right.
I did. I was like, wait, are you not real? Because you're giving me advice.
As long as you don't check if I'm a sex robot, that's going to be fine.
That's later.
Yeah.
Like, mic's off.
But I ultimately think... And I know you're like a leader in this, what's going to happen next in the industry. We're going to revert back to real producers, real movies, real scripts, because we're going to crave human contact. We're going to crave human nature.
I think it's going to be the opposite. I think you're going to have reality shows of influencers in real world.
Really?
Trying to put themselves into a real world.
Well, that, I mean, I could see that, but I don't, you think you're going to watch some AI show? I have no, I don't even like watching cartoons. I'm not going to do that. Yeah.
But you know what?
I love cartoons.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Wile E. Coyote.
You would like that one.
But you know what? It's like even watching reality TV, I don't have to tell you this. Like the greatest moments of reality television. And I've had a front row live seat to most of them, to like some really big, like remember the watermelon that went in the girl's face on Amazing Race?
Okay.
I was there for that.
Can I come on set with you?
Sure.
Absolutely. I would love that.
I haven't worked on the show in like,
Naked and Afraid.
But the things that happen that on wiener. These shows, you couldn't write in a million years. And one thing I like to say also about like AI is, you know, right now they're still trying to put these movies through algorithms and trying to predict what audiences want. But these movies are still shit in the bed. Like Joker 2 or like Mad Max Fury. Like no matter what, like, the, like even going that. Through an algorithm is not going to tell you what an audience wants. And a perfect example is like, I say, okay, lay out every reality show from 2000 to 2025, right? Let AI pick out which are the best shows that are going to like be absolute hits. And I guarantee you AI couldn't pick out, oh, it's going to be this show about these rednecks making duck calls in Louisiana or this show about Guidos on the Jersey Shore. No one could ever have predicted what were going to be the standout shows. And there have been thousands of reality shows.
Really? Okay.
So the audience is still fickle. The audience still is they're smarter than you think they are, and they want great storytelling, and that is really the secret. So,
Jersey Shore, I mean, if Jersey Shore came out today, would it be as popular?
I don't think it would have the same as it did. Because it was one of the first,
like, but it was a show with a time, right. You know, and it really is, and this is kind of what I was saying, that art reflects life. Mm-hmm. Like Jersey Shore was that, like, you know, that was my era of, right. You know, being out of college and, you know, back when I put more product in my hair and stuck it up and I was in New York and bar A on the Jersey Shore. I've been there quite a few times myself, but that era has passed and there's still like stories to be told about just reality in general, about what we're all going through that are still interesting. Yeah. But you know, movie companies are just like, they're risk averse. They want to put out what they know is a sure bet, which happens to be another superhero movie. Uh-huh. They're remaking Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Wait, so what do you think about movie
Theater,
movie
theaters?
Oh, my God.
Exactly. The only people that get excited about that are the people that greenlit the movie, right?
Yeah.
We all go, we all make that collective groan because we all know better, right?
So that, so, go ahead, what were you saying?
Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, like, are we still going to have movie theaters?
You know what? And that was another thing about talking to the Gen Zers. They're like, yeah, I would love to go to a movie theater, but it's $25 a ticket. Yeah. Like for two of us to go, like a date at the movies is $75. Back in 99, you know, when I was a senior in high school, it was $3.50 to see the movie. I might be out $9 by the end of the night.
Yeah.
You know?
Popcorn, $25 popcorn.
Yeah, exactly. It's movie theaters originally were for the masses to be entertained.
So do you think that they should just lower the prices of movies at movie theaters? 100%.
Or a tier system. Like if you want to see the big blockbuster, make that the $20 movie. But if you want to go see an independent film, you know, that doesn't have a bigger budget, maybe it's a $5 to go see that movie.
Or like the Oppenheimer, when they released that movie, that they said you could, it's only going to be in theaters for like the first 2 months.
Right.
It's not going to be in home. Like they might still need to hold movies.
Yeah, that's how they did. That's
they
how
have
they
to,
did.
Yeah.
That's know? How they did it.
Yeah. Because otherwise, I would
then your friends saw it and you had to wait 6 months.
Yeah. See, and that's actually the problem that the streamers deal with is because they're like, well, I still have to keep subscribers. So how do I do it? Well, I could yank the movie from the theater and put it on my subscription-based system. Mm-hmm. And that's how I could keep audiences come into my system.
Like how Apple actually TV does that.
But they're robbing Peter to pay Paul to do this, you know?
Sure. Well, I mean, there's going to be a lot of changes, I think, with streaming and, like, for instance, this show here with YouTube TV syndication, you're not even going to need to sign with anybody.
No.
You're going to need to, like, as long as I'm not dinged, I'm going to be able to be syndicated.
Yeah.
Through YouTube. Like amazing. TV,
100%.
Which is like, as long as
full
I'm
edit
not
control.
Yeah, and I own it. As long as I'm not, what do you call it? A dinged. I don't have any of the negativity.
Yeah, sometimes that could be, you know, there's no such thing as bad press.
Well, obviously, that's what they I'm say. The queen of bad press.
But you know, it's funny.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No. I just think that it's all going to change, but you're like, I love my team and I love the reality of my life. I happen to be in the reality world by weird quinky dink. Mm-hmm. And I have a newfound respect for it because of all the AI. So I enjoyed that I was real on there. Like I'm a real person. I had real emotion. These women are real, and I have a newfound respect because of AI for reality TV. And you're like engulfed in reality TV. I am so blessed to have you on today. And you know, I know that you, so what do you do now? So you're giving.
So I'm actually partnered up because I'm building a platform with a bunch of other filmmakers, and we're building a platform for filmmakers, by filmmakers. And what it does is, I'm sure you heard of the movie Sing Sing. And what made that movie so popular was they gave the equity of the movie to the entire crew. So the gaffer, the lighting guy, the sound guy, all the crew got a stake in the back end, which never happens in the film industry. So we're building this platform called Share, where you could bring your project. It could be an animation. It could be a documentary. It could be a film. It could be a television show. And what it does is it distributes your equity to your entire crew.
We produced a film called Sing Sing.
Yes.
It premiered at TIFF. We made sure it was equitable for everyone.
That's right.
Every single person had a point.
That's it.
And that motivates them to make a better movie.
And that motivates them to make a better movie. And it also keeps the power and structure within the creative community. Because a lot of times, you know, we've been seeing like media contract and you're getting these streamers and there's only like five left, right? There's Netflix and Amazon and they own everything. They own their content.
Yeah.
So what is going to make... And they're the ones deciding what gets made and what doesn't get made. But storytellers, the real storytellers, the ones that know how to tell a story, the ones that know how to make a great product or a great show, you know, they're getting kind of sidelined and we've been kind of forced to make what they're telling us we need to make. But I'm like, what if you get the greatest storytellers and just gave them carte blanche, blank slate? You can make whatever your passion project is, you know, and your crew gets everything. Basically, we could see, and we've seen creators go out on YouTube and Instagram, create their own stuff. But what if you had the best of the best out there creating their own material? And then we're going to see that cream rise.
It's more quality stuff that we're going to watch. Yeah, it's going to be great.
So
that's cool. It's a good pretty phenomenal. What's it called again?
It's called Share, but thesharplatform.com.
So thesharplatform.com.
Yes.
So creators can go on there right now. Sign up.
Right now, we're in beta, but we officially launch on February 24th.
But this is kind of exciting, isn't
it?
Yeah,
for everybody. I'm telling you. See, I'm saving the best for last.
I was like, holy shit. Schmoly. Sorry.
Schmoly.
Holy schmoly. I was going to say holy.
Schmoly.
No, say holy.
You haven't been holding back this far.
I was holding back because YouTube was flagging a little.
Oh, because my mouth.
Yeah. X doesn't block me, but YouTube does. I'm going to be banned. So I want to make sure that I can get distributed properly. So this is exciting. So it's not launched yet. It's beta.
Not officially launched. We're hoping to launch by South by Southwest officially.
Okay.
But
at the concert?
At the
South by Southwest is the festival.
Oh, yeah. No, so but not there. That's not where you're launching it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The concert festival. Yeah.
Is that, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a tech and film festival.
I thought it was more like music.
No. There's two.
Austin, right? Like,
yes.
I know what I'm talking about.
Sorry, Tiffany has obviously not been to Austin, Texas for these.
That's what I think. I don't know.
But yeah, we're so excited about it.
Okay.
It can't be the same.
And who's your partners in it?
So my partners are Erin Norman. She's the CEO.
Okay.
She's an amazing woman. And it's funny because she reached out to me last spring because I was making these Instagram videos. And she's like, I really have something to talk to you about. And I'm just like, I live in Silicon Valley. Like startups hit me up all the time and I'm not interested. And she was like, no, you really have to understand. And then when we finally talked, it's like, oh, okay, this is building something that is actually going to help our community.
Yeah.
Because you just don't want to be the gimmick guy. You don't want to be like, hey, I'm selling this.
Yeah,
or, you know, here's another cheap plastic product from, you know, China. But like, this is actually something that's going to benefit.
I love it because I am a tech person. Uh-huh. So I had a platform and we had Buy Your Band a Beer.
Okay.
So you can go online and, you know, you could take care of the artist. So I was in music and whatever.
Right.
So you're in the film industry. So you're taking care of the artist, which is great. And I fully am behind that. But Patrick, producer Patrick, we can't thank you enough for being on today. So we have a couple gifts for you for just coming on. So this is just for your wife.
Okay.
What's your wife's name?
Jen.
Jen. Hi, Jen. We love you. Do not let him open this. This is just for you to open. That's for Jen. That's
thank for you. You. Thank you. I won't look at it.
Yeah, don't look at it. And this
it's a doll.
Is...
Oh, God. If it vibrates, I don't want it.
You're going to die laughing. I thought about you because you're like a kind of a... Anyway, just open it.
It's a fleshlight.
It's not a fleshlight. Oh, boy.
Your hand is too. It's heavy.
What's late? I was going
to... Shut up. Have him open it. You can open it.
I can open it. What is the...
Oh.
It's a fire extinguisher? Wait.
Oh. Cool. It's Albert Einstein.
Because you think you're so smart.
He's going to put out the fire. You know, I actually needed one of these because I had a grease fire the other day.
That, you know, so,
is this really, does it work, Liz, or is it
art? It's a real extension.
Yes, it's a real one. Okay. Because he's a smarty pants. So I was like, okay, you're revolutionary. You know,
I got
a revolution.
But do you think I'm like accident prone and I'm just going to like, you know, like.
No, it's you're so hot, you got to put out that fire.
Oh, hey.
I thought it was Albert Einstein. He can't came up with a bunch of inventions.
This is awesome.
And you're talking about your invention, which is your new company and what you're doing for the industry. So
I appreciate that.
I just thought, you know, great minds think alike. And I just thought, you know, there you are. Because you never know what you're doing, Patrick. It could be so great for so many people.
And, putting out fires.
And that's I want to be one of the first shows to put it out there that we had you on. And could you imagine if all creatives could make
their own stuff?
Make their own stuff.
That's what we're hoping for.
You know, like artists should be making their own money. Like labels and streaming platforms should not be making the money.
Would that change the
artists should be.
How
does the union get involved? I'm sorry. It's like.
So everything still kind of works out. We're actually doing, I don't know when this is going to air, but we're doing a live on February.
Next week.
13th. Okay.
Or a week after.
So we're doing actually a live on Thursday. That's going to answer a lot of these questions about like union and distribution and funding. But
SAG.
We could cut that part out.
Yeah, but anyway, so producer Patrick, we can't thank you enough for coming down.
Well, thank you for having me. And I really appreciate
it. Just educating us on what the heck is going on with AI. And we know that Keith will no longer be dating any of the girls online. He decided that he's going to cut all the apps off. Tiffany is
going
to get off all
AI.
The dating apps.
But dating only AI girls from now on.
Thank you for watching Spotlight by Girl Talk. I'm Elizabeth Vargas.
Keith Maximilian.
Tiffany Sowersby.
And Patrick Alagiri.
Like, follow, subscribe, support us on Patreon, but more importantly, follow us on YouTube to get notified on the latest and greatest tea time, the tea that you need. Thank you, Patrick. We love you.
Thank you.
Cheers. Cheers.
Cheers.
Oh, you're out.
I'm out. No, I got one swig left. I got one swig left.